the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with the good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day. All right, well, the West Indies with a fight, losing the second test match, playing against India, 518 for 5, declared at 124 for 3. India, the West Indies, 248 and 390, with two batsmen getting hundreds. And we're going to certainly put the test series under the microscope tonight on Mason and Guests. And we also want, of course, to get some reaction, as usual, from across the Caribbean. I know that last week we were supposed to speak to one or two other people who would have played with Bernard Julian. They didn't get a chance to do their tributes. We're going to certainly let that happen as well this evening on Mason and Guests. So India winning against the West Indies. The West Indies will now go on to Bangladesh, and we'll be playing some ODIs, in fact, starting on the 18th, the 21st, and then the 23rd. Then they play some T20s, the 27th, the 29th, and the 31st. Very much involved in the T20s. And of course, then they go on to New Zealand. So those guys are going to be there for quite a long time. The teams have been selected. We're going to certainly look at those teams a little bit later on as well. On the local scene, we want to congratulate the Wildy side. They're the defending champions going into the Super Cup, and they won, having made 229. And, you know, you felt that that was a score that they could have competed. And they did, in fact, went on to win. And we want to congratulate them. We hope a little bit later on the show to be speaking to Carlos Maynard. But just before I go to the panel, we got Lawrence Shaw on the line. He's going to offer his tribute and, of course, give some reaction to the test match. I just want to express some concern, though, in relation to the finals, which would have been held on October the 12th at Kensington Oval. Yes, a big final. But yet on that same day, we had some games being played in the quarterfinals of the Shield competition. And my concern about that, really, is that you've got teams like Empire, St. John's, Cultural Isolation, Cavaliers, Ipswich, you know, teams with a good base in terms of support. And you would have thought that you would have been able to have the Super Cup as a standalone event. Now, the question I'm asking the BCA is why you would have scheduled then, on that same day, those matches involving 8 teams. Now, I also did my investigations, and I think that Wendell Coppin, who invited him to the show, but he said he's got other things to do this evening, those games could have been played on October the 26th. Then the semifinals could have been played on November the 9th. And the finals could have been played on the 23rd of November. Because when you look at those dates, you know, there would have been no competition at the 12th. Those games in terms of the quarterfinals of the Shield competition. I did, in fact, say to you that they could have been played on other days. And on those days, there would not have been any competition. Well, the Elite and First Division scheduled to finish on November the 3rd. So, Mr. Hope, And of course, we got to look to it, Mr. Coppin. We really want to hear from you as to why this kind of thing happened. And just before I go and speak to the panel, we had about 3.5 months when there was no elite cricket starting in mid-June. It seemed to be a rather strange season as far as the BCA is concerned. And I really would like them to come and explain to us why, you know, you had this starting and stopping, no flow to the Barbados Cricket Association season. And I think that the BCA really should be put under the microscope, like the West Indies side. We can't afford to have this again going into our next season. Now, let me say hello to my panel. I'm sure that Philo Wallace, who, he certainly was a candidate in terms of the BCA elections for president, was going to comment on that a little bit later on. We got, of course, Mr. Tony Gray, who joins us. Good to see Mr. Gray in gray, and he's got a gray beard as well. Thanks to our good friend to come on the show, as usual, Mr. Basil Butcher. And we also have Dr. Andrew Ford. We're going to certainly spend some time looking at the game that was played, the second test match. But just before we do that, let's say hello to Lawrence Shaw, who joins us. Though he's a very busy man. Hello, Lawrence. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Good to hear you.
Good. All right. What part of the world are you, Lawrence?
I'm in Miami.
Okay. How is the weather? We had lots of rain in Barbados today.
Very good today here. We had rain a couple of weeks. We've been having rain here, but it's been very good today.
Right, indeed. And, of course, just before we go to the panel, I'm sure that our good friend Tony Gray Trinidad would certainly want to offer his tributes as well. We started last week, and you would have played with Bernard Julian, starting back in 1973, that England tour.
Yes, but actually we go further back. We played schoolboy cricket against each other way back in 1968, 67, 68, 69.
Yes, he would have been for Trinidad, and you would have been playing for Jamaica.
Yes, and he played alongside some other guys who played for the West Indies, like Rafet Jumadeen and Inchon Ali, Richard D'Souza. That group of guys played with Bernard during that time, and they had a giant of a fast bowler, a guy called Brian Thurville, which I thought would have probably played for the West Indies, but he took his studies into it. And the great Sir Wesley Hall was the coach of that team.
Yeah, indeed. And then from there, 1973 to England with Bernard?
Yes. Tour 1973 with him on that English tour. I didn't play on that tour because of injury. I had a foot injury that I got in Trinidad in the series against, I think it was against Australia, and then they take me on to England. So I didn't get to play a test match there, but I was on the tour with Bernard there, and memorable innings at Lord's. That memory innings at Lord's and that partnership with Sir Gary.
Yes.
It was probably the highlight of his career. Very much so. The highlight of his career was that. And then we went on to tour Australia together in 75-6. And on that tour that we got beat. And then we went on the Rebel Tour to South Africa. He was there with me again. And I spoke to him about 2 months before his death.
You spoke to him 2 months before his death?
Ooh. 2 months before his death, I spoke to him, We had a nice conversation 2 months before his death.
Yeah.
We remained friendly from the schoolboy era right through we were friends.
Right. And any fond memories of Bernard?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's a lot of fond memories of him. On the field, always give it his all. You know, he was always a three-way man, all-rounder who was trying very much to follow in the great Sir Gary Sobel's footsteps. When he came along, everybody saw Bernard, that man, he had his colors up just like Sir Gary. You know, he even tried to walk like Sir Gary.
Yes,
you know, he even tried to walk like Sir Gary. Brilliant fieldsman as well. And with the bat was equally as good in his younger days. When he was younger, he had had a little more pace. Used to be able to deliver some reasonable quick deliveries back then. and then in a later year swung it around, you know. But memories of him is that he was always a handsome man, very handsome man, as we all know, all who know him.
Like yourself, and, like yourself, Lawrence, like yourself, huh?
No. I don't match Bernard in that category. I don't match him in that category. No.
Yes.
And he was, the girls were so fascinating by him.
Yes.
You know, everywhere he goes, he had all the girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So,
That's a wonderful guys, story, yes.
The guys who couldn't find the girls had to be friendly with Bernard, you know?
I like that one. Yes. Very charismatic man. In fact, Michael Holden last week was talking about, you know, his interaction with him, and he came out at one time and didn't have on a particularly good shirt, and Bernard went, you know, and said, no, you put on this one, and the multicolored shirt, and it was a wonderful time talking to Michael Holden. But just before we go on, he also spoke about that test match when we couldn't find an opener.
Yes, and it was suggested Boycie was the one who volunteered to open the inning. And then Keith Walcott, who was the assistant manager at the time, said, if Keith Boycie opened for the West Indies, it would be a disgrace. so you could imagine that Boycie was so mad with him saying that, you know. and then Bernard was pushed to the lamp. You know, Bernard was pushed out there to open. Lloyd said, Bernard, who wants you to open? Bernard eyes became so huge.
And pissed like fire.
And open it.
Pissed like fire.
Yeah. Pacing Tom O'Leary at that time at Perth was no easy task.
No easy task at all.
Yes. But Bernard went out and he did a reasonable job for us.
Mm-hmm.
In that test match at Perth, yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Yes, back to win, throw a few blows every now and then. You know?
Back to win and throw a few blows. I like that, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes. So fond memories of him. Right. Well, he's going to be buried on the October the 18th. In fact, his son was on the show. Are you going to be able to make it, or is you not going to be able to make the funeral?
I am not sure. Still thinking about it. I'm not sure yet. Still thinking about it.
Right.
You know, and he's one of the, you know, the rebels who as we were called.
Yes.
That go to South Africa. I think he's the fifth one that has gone and left us.
The fifth
David
one.
David Moria, Don, and Sylvester Clark, Ezra Mosley, Richard Austin, and now Bernard Jewell. He's that thing.
I didn't even think of it from that angle. The fifth, right. Ezra Moses is gone. David is gone. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Richard Austin is gone. Yes. Yeah, I saw him there in Jamaica.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well.
Yes, it's the fifth one. You know, and so sad. But you know, as I said, I had a little discussion with him before he died, It was wonderful to have spoken to him before, you know. Mm-hmm. And my condolences to his family.
124 for 3 India, the West Indies 248 and 390. Talk to him about the test match. Tony Gray.
Well, good evening to you, Andrew. Good evening to your panel. Good evening to Yagur Rowe. I saw him make a 70. I think that Bernard Julian took 9 wickets in an innings at the Queen's Park Oval. So just let me say, first of all, Andrew, condolences to the family of the great Bernard Julian and the friends and the cricket fraternity. I worked with him back in around 94, 95 at the Ministry of Sport and Youth Affairs in Trinidad. And he was always, as mentioned by Yagur Rowe, charismatic, really loving and kind. And I think that when you look at Bernard, he always wanted to expound his experiences as a former cricketer and always willing to help youngsters. He worked a lot with national teams at the National Cricket Center, and he worked with clubs, especially clubs in the West, Merry Boys, for example, and did a fantastic job with it. He always wanted to give back. And I think that Bernard was loving and kind and emotional too. And I think that that travel to, you know, South Africa on that rebel tour and the reception or the lack of kindness that he got, love that he got, to really hurt him as an individual. My fond memory of him was when he didn't want to see me.
Really?
You know, I go to the same church as his niece, and I said, I need to come and see him, right? She went back to him and came back and told me, he said, no, Tony Gray is too loud.
Oh, wow, Tony. So he knows you pretty well, Tony.
The other thing is that I was in contact with his son, who I knew from when he was younger, when he was living in Powder Magazine, that's West Trinidad, and he used to go and line with Bernard and his family, his wife and his son, and I recently talked to him, and he told me about his Bernard went through a little problems with his broken hip. And I want to compliment CWI for sending the finances for him later on, because remember, that 75 team, all of them got, 10,000 US.
Yes.
That helped a lot. Very
yeah?
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helped a lot. And, you know, Bernard, I would miss him a lot, but he's made such an invaluable contribution to not just West Indies cricket, but cricket in general.
Just before you go on to do an assessment of the test match, I can tell you that there are one or two fellows who have not gotten the 10,000 US yet. Are you aware of that, Tony?
No.
Yes.
I asked questions today, I tried
to be prepared for this program, and I asked a question or two, and, you know, one or two fellows have not gotten the money as yet. You're in the inner circle. Why would that happen,
no,
Tony?
I'm not in the inner circle. I realized that Bernard was struggling, and I called the cricket director, and he really helped us out very well there. Because remember, Bernard didn't go to the gala function.
No.
That was just before the test match against Australia. The first test match was held in Barbados.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's turn our attention on Lawrence Rowe is still with us. Your assessment of the test match, Tony?
Well, I think that first of all, you have to look at the pitch conditions and the outfield. It was the near-perfect batting pitch and conditions to score runs, because the outfield was pretty fast and it wasn't a huge ground by any means. So I thought that India obviously was in their comfort zone, batted for long, and how much it was, over 130 overs, which is not easy for the West Indies team. They showed good discipline, weren't really penetrative enough, and it accounted for over 500 runs. And obviously India declaring, thinking that they would have bowled us out twice easily. When we started the bat, we had some good starts. Our batsmen had some good starts, but we didn't really carry on. And that was a concern then. But in the second innings, and I must compliment, Carey Pearce and Anderson Phillips. Anderson Phillips batted for 90-something balls in. And we have to, Andrew, not just look at the batsmen, but the lower batsmen who can really turn the tide, because game momentum was lost by India. They had to work extremely hard, and they bowled, 81.5 overs. And the thing with that situation, I was very surprised that Shubman Gill went back on the field.
Yes.
Very, very surprised, because 81 overs in trying situations, especially for the fast bowlers, the flat pitch is not easy to go back on the field. But we batted brilliantly after. I must compliment the decision not to have Shehu Hope wicket keep, because I said that, and I was saying that ad nauseum before the test series started against Australia, that he should be eased back into test match cricket and allow Imlach to do the duties. Because if he kept for 130-something overs, he would not have that concentration levels and the vitality that he showed. And a really good combination of batsmen between him and obviously Campbell. And, you know, they have had a history of doing well in white ball cricket as a pair. The second most productive partnership in the history of One Day Internationals, only bettered by Chris Gayle and Marlon Samuels. So We fought. We showed good resilience. I like the fact that Graves came and scored a 52. So as Gambia said, this is a great template for us to learn from and try to better, not just try to parallel, but to make better into the future. Because obviously we have good enough bowlers to bowl outside now, and we want our batting to be a lot more consistent.
All right. Your reaction to the game, Phil Wallace, former West Indies hard-hitting batsman. Put this game under the microscope, Philo, for me.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your panel. Good evening to Lawrence. It's nice to have him on the program, speaking so eloquently about Winard. I want to say hello to Sherla Hart, maybe Bert Evan, and my good friend Carlos in London. Andrew, the test match was a test match of character. India obviously scored over 500 runs in the first innings and put us under the caution. And our first innings, at the bowlers out over 240. Obviously, India, as Tony said, thought that they would have bowled us out in the second innings. I thought India missed the beat by not giving Bumrah the new ball. Over was spin. And I have to compliment now John Campbell for his maiden test 100 and Shea Hope for registering his third test 100 after a long time. But both of them show good skills, good characteristics of batting. And what stood out to me, Andrew, is that they only play silly shots when they got over 100.
That is true. That is true. Is that if they've gotten to, I agree with that.
They batted wonderfully well on a flat pitch.
Yes.
Delhi. But as soon as they got to 100, they said, well, look, I had enough of this and gave it away. If they had batted deeper, maybe something miraculous could have happened. But it was a good batting display in the second innings. It only showed that application and intent to score and bat long was the key. It's not about finance and facilities because nothing has changed in that area. So the West Indies cricket squad members now have to build on what they left in India. They left a good showing of themselves, particularly in the second innings. And I hope that CWA, because a lot of the red ball players are not playing white ball cricket. So the likes of John Campbell, what is CWA planning to do with him? Because the next trip is to Bangladesh.
Right.
And he's the test match opener. What is Chander Paul's son, what is Ajay Chander Paul going to be doing in the lead up, if he's going to New Zealand, the lead up to New Zealand? What are these typical red ball cricketers going to be doing? They are far away from home. And we would like to know for CWA how they're going to keep them in cricket. But the test match was lost. We lost a fifth test match. And we've lost five already for the year. But obviously, we're going to take heart for what happened in the second. It's particularly with our batting. I thought the bowling, obviously, on a flat pitch, didn't make any inroads. Jaden Seal, again, we need to ask Tony Gray if he can get to him and tell him that he needs to cool his head. I know there's a lot of pressure being the lead fast bowler and not getting wickets at the rate that you want to. But there's some stages in your career that you go through these periods and these patches of players. I don't think that Anderson Phillip in the second innings bowl, is he injured?
Right.
What is the position with him? So the second innings of that test match for West Indies was a plus, and it's something that the batters now can take and work with going into New Zealand, because in New Zealand you have to apply yourself the same way, because the ball is going to be seaming and bouncing, and New Zealand is not going to come easy at us. We're not going to get any dry pitches in New Zealand. So at least we know that once we bat long and get in our batters, we can score runs. So it's a fantastic effort for the batters, but yet again, Andrew, we lost another test match, so we're going 5-0. And that is something that we need to look at, because again, these are test championship games. Yeah. We have no points for five games.
I see. Dr. Ford, your assessment.
Good night to the panel and to listeners. I admit that these are some of the best red ball players that we have. I guess the test match just shows an ability to adapt more. Let's deal with the bowling first. The fast bowling wasn't penetrative, and we were in India, so the spinners would dominate. And it is clear that Chase and Warkan are our best spinners, even though not of the caliber of the Indian spinners. I don't think Pierre was penetrative. He was economical, but even though I'm not a cricketer, I don't see Pierre as a viable test spinner. at this level. I think he can play white ball cricket. I appreciate his effort, but I think the series shows who the better spinners are. It's unfortunate that we lost our two Josephs, and I think that really hindered us a lot in the fast bowling department. The second innings really showed a change in approach, and I was impressed with Shea Holt, you know, the changing to an off stump guard, getting that foot closer to the ball, and being a bit more positive. I think being more positive as well as that change, he covered the stump better. He looked really good. I mean, if you look at Athanase, he was very open, and in many cases he showed his stumps, and if the ball deviated a little bit, he was out. And I think that that comparison between Athanase and Hope shows that the players have ability, but they need to adapt and they need to adjust. And I know that they won't be like a Smith from Australia that can change rapidly through a series. Campbell has an aggressive approach. And when you are a team that's struggling for runs, you can't really be on the defensive all the time and just absorb pressure, because that leads to these low scores where you just bat 30, 40 overs and total domination. So I think Campbell and Hope showed that they, if you have the right approach and you make some adjustments and you defend well, that you can do well. I also think that Graves shows that he is a batsman of some repute. I know that he didn't do well as a bowler, but I think his development is good as an all-rounder within the team. Chase wasn't good at all during the series, never really settled, and again, you know, always gets out with balls coming into him or getting caught at slip. He does have some technical issues to resolve, but I think mainly it shows that we really need a very good batting coach to make our batsmen better. I know practice, and I heard about Athanase saying he has to practice 300 balls versus, I mean, for 3 hours versus half an hour and that sort of thing, but the guys just need to work harder and longer if we are to be significant when it comes to batting. The test match in the series shows a lack of fast bowling depth, and generally a lack of depth within the team as we see it. I know Imlach came in late, didn't make much of an impact with the bat, looked good behind the stumps, but we need to build depth, but we need to build capacity and an ability to function in the people who we know are our best players. And I think, you know, Philo talked about some players that only play red ball cricket. I think that we really have to keep these players engaged and keep them working on their game. We cannot just sit back and think that the players are going to do it themselves. I know they're adults and they want to do well, but I think that a bit more of a regimented, sustained approach for the tests group needs to be engaged in if we are to improve, because we are at a stage, Andrew, where the brand is being damaged. The team has done so badly for so long, the brand is really, you know, in danger of extinction.
Ooh, that's a big comment to make, though, Doc.
Yes, no, nobody came to watch us play against India. The Indian public, there are billions of them. They didn't want to watch us. They didn't rate us. We're getting two test matches instead of getting the matches. I mean, the rating is there. We can see it. We can see it in the performances. We can see it in the engagement. We can see it in our revenue. Everything is pointing to us becoming, going into oblivion, really. So, I mean, a sustained hard approach is needed for us to make a difference and to turn this around. We've been trying for too long and something needs to be done.
Just before we go to Lawrence Roy, I know we're not keeping too much longer. Your reaction, Basil? You've put the side under the microscope. Do you agree with, first of all, Dr. Ford, that we in this big trouble? The brand is so seriously affected?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to the panel. Good evening to the great Yagaro. And good evening to your listeners. I think that there's a little bit of hyperbole there in terms of going into oblivion, with Doc saying there. But yes.
So hold on. So you don't agree with Doc then?
No, I just think it's a little bit hyperbole.
But can I ask the question again?
It's not necessarily disagreeing. I understand what he's saying.
Yes.
I put it more in a situation.
Right.
Oracle Crit is an intensive care unit.
Okay.
Right? Mm. That's where
Oracle Crit. But when you're in intensive care, you're pretty close to death. Well, when you're intensive,
not necessarily.
Okay.
We are intensive care unit. However, if we do not finally address the fundamental issues as to why we are not producing international quality players, we will get to the place that Doc just described in very short order.
Oh my God!
Right? Look. The West Indies batted well in the second inning, the follow-on. And as Tony said earlier, I will admit I watched the games in parts because I am not losing my sleep watch West Indies. So I wake up in the morning. The wake up, I will watch a few hours before I head off to work. And I was watching when we got just as we got bowled out. And then when I saw India enforcing the follow-on, I wondered if Mr. Gill was smoking some cheap weed, as my good friend Mark Harper likes to say, because that was the most boneheaded decision.
Yes.
But from a West Indian, because first of all, the bowl is tiring. And so to me, that showed that India didn't underestimated West Indies. They greatly underestimated. In the same way, Pakistan underestimated our spinners by setting this spinning wicket, not thinking that our spinners could take care of their batters, right? So those are some of the signs that tells you the way many teams look at West Indies, the West Indies cricket team, is a team that they can roll over. You see it in their tactics and so on and so forth. Again, from a West Indian perspective, I was very happy with some of the blunders, in my view, that Shubman Gill did with his tactics. We have our fast bowler on here, Mr. Gray. I know from when I batted, if the wicket is in variable bunks and the ball keeping low, the most dangerous bowlers are the faster ones,
right,
not the spinners. Mm-hmm. So why did he not switch
and have
the fast bowl at the end, bowl to the end?
He doesn't strike me as very tactically astute. He doesn't strike me as very tactically astute, no.
Yes, his inexperience as a captain.
Doesn't seem to know the game very well. He doesn't seem to be a student. I must admit.
He was rescued by Rahul.
Yes.
Because I guess the commentators could have heard a little bit of the discussion at that water break, and Rahul saying to him, "We want a bowl to let these batters only score square of the wicket,
right.
So they're gonna have to play horizontal bat shots, which on a wicket that got variable bunks and so on is a high and fillo. Right. The ball is gonna be seaming, the ball will be swinging." And that's where your technique will be tested even more so.
All right. Okay. Well, Lawrence is still with us. What we're going to do, we're not going to keep you too much longer, the great Yago Roe. Your assessment of the test match, were you any positives there, Lawrence?
I was listening to everybody and good comments on a lot of people. I think Doc made a few comments that I agree with. Before the team was selected, I didn't think that Pierre was a test match bowler. I didn't think he was a test match bowler. I think Moti would have fitted in better as a test match bowler. That is my opinion. I'm just from far off. You know, and I believe that.
Why are you saying that, though? I mean, I agree with you. I'm particularly against the background that, and we're going to look at the construct of the side, because in my view, there was no need to play three spinners. I mean, if you've got Warrican, you've got Chase, there's no need to play Carey Pierre. You play the extra batsman when we're struggling in that area. So I didn't quite understand why you would want to play the two left-arm spinners along with your off-spinner in Chase. So you looked at Carey Pierre. He looks like more of a white ball bowler. Is that what you're saying, Lawrence?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. no disrespect to him, but test match cricket is that wickets are better in test match cricket, and it's a longer game. You have to spin the ball more in test match.
Exactly. And you didn't see that.
We didn't see that. But even before, I was looking at him, even in the T20 games, he's tight and everything. But you see that he doesn't do enough with it. He doesn't spin it enough to be included in the test match team. Mm-hmm. I believe that our players now need to play. All our batsmen should play the ODI. We're not having enough first-class games anymore, like when we played where you have warm-up matches and all of that. We don't have that anymore. So you have to let them play, and I believe that they should play ODI. All our test batsmen should be playing ODI for the West Indies.
I
believe all of them should be playing that.
Mm-hmm.
I must say, on the game itself now, I must say congratulations to the two century makers. But I had made a prediction that if we had given India 220 to make in the second innings, we would have won the game.
Oh, really?
And I believe, honestly, that the century makers let us down. They had owed us a lot of runs because, it's a long time they haven't done it. And they did stay there, got in, and then look how Campbell got out when he made that 100 of that reverse. Yeah. He gave out his wicket away.
Yeah,
one of those men should have made 150 or 170. No. We would have given India at least 220, 230 runs to make. And I believe we'd bowl them out on that wicket if we had given them on the fifth day. I think we could have bowled them out. Or if they would have won it, it would be close.
Right.
9 wickets, 8 wickets down to get that 200 on that last day. So although they played well, I believe one of them should have given us a big 100. When you get in and you make 100 and your team need you, the first 100 is for you now. Now you must play for your team.
Mm-hmm.
I believe one of those two men should have gotten over 150.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of them had gotten that, we would be in a good position to challenge India on that last day.
Lawrence, you like the position of Hope batting at four?
Very much so. A long time, that is his position, in my opinion. In this team, he's the number four man. I like him, Lack. I never saw him before. First time I saw him bat for a little bit in the first inning. Very impressed with him. I think he's very good. Good opening. His wicket keeping is good. His movement was very good. Looking at him, I think that was a very good move in bringing him as a wicket keeper and then batting at number four.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. There are a few more people that I'd love to see. I don't know what happened to young Hodge. I don't know what happened to him. If he finished with cricket or what?
No. I don't. But Flo Wallace is normally very close to Darren Sammy. Flo, what's happening to Mr. Hodge? Can you tell us, Flo? You tend to know these things.
Well, Andrew, unfortunately, I don't know what has become of Kevin Hodge. I believe that he should be in the squad. When you look at the way Oshie Hope and constructed the innings.
Right.
A man like Hodge will fit perfectly into
exactly.
that squad.
You're right. You're right, Philo.
And it is difficult. You see, Lawrence, there's one selector, which is head coach Darren Sammy. He selects the squad. He's aided by talent scout. He's the information. He has the final say.
Yeah. What was it you're saying, Lawrence?
We have to change that. Regardless of what we do, we have to change that. Let me tell you something. We need one of our top batsmen to be the batting coach of this team. A top man. A top batsman. A man was performed at the highest level to be the batting coach of this team. Let me tell you something. After battle is won with these younger players, when you see your batting coach turn up and he's going to talk to you, and he has been there and done it in test cricket, that is off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
We need somebody like a Carl Hooper or somebody. I'm not talking about people in my time now. We're too old now, probably. But we need somebody like a Carl Hooper as the batting coach.
Mm.
And if West Indies is talking about saving money, we just need a batting coach and a bowling coach. We don't need no fielding coach. These guys can manage that part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a batting coach and a bowling coach.
Mm-hmm.
and the battle and the
Lawrence,
can coordinate that. We can help to save the West Indies board some money if you get the right people in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. No disrespect to Sammy. No disrespect to Sammy. But I don't believe.
And you need a panel. You need a panel of selectors like in your day.
Oh yes, most definitely. And I don't think Sammy can be the head coach.
No,
of the test team. I don't. Think so. Honestly don't think so. And no disrespect to the man. I don't know him, but I don't believe so.
Mm. Why don't you believe that Sammy should be the head coach, Lawrence?
Why I don't believe he should be the head coach?
Yeah.
Well, your head coach is going to be part of all parts of your cricket, basically.
Right.
I don't think Sammy was a good enough player.
Okay.
I don't think he was a good enough player to impart to these, especially younger guys, batsmanship. Sammy didn't have that. You need, at test level, you need somebody who has been there, done it, to help these guys. I've seen some things with young Anthony. I don't want to talk what I've seen, but I've seen it right here. That if I was around him a minute or two, I can help that.
You would help him.
That's not much to do. Mm. Of course, and that's not much to do.
Lawrence, what is Athanase doing wrong in terms of his batting technique?
In technique, he's a left-hander. His right foot is too straight. When he's playing forward, he's not going on top of the... pushing out and getting on top of this ball.
Interesting.
He's too straight up when he's playing forward. He's too straight up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is simple to correct. Simple for him to correct. Mm-hmm. I can understand if you have a batting coach or they don't see that with this young man.
Yeah, I agree. And he tends to lunge at the ball outside the off stump too.
That's correct. It's simple stuff. I'm saying to you, man, I'd love to be around some of these younger guys, but I hear that today it's tough to get to them today. Even when they come into Miami here, I can't even get close to the dressing room much.
Really? They don't invite you, Lawrence? They don't invite you, Lawrence?
You can't get there.
Oh.
You can't get there. Mm. And you see things where you could help. And I strongly am a Hooper man. I believe Hooper could help this batting group big time. And as I say again, we must play. These guys must play white ball cricket. They must play ODI cricket.
So you don't think that Floyd Reefer, who's the assistant batting coach, can do the job? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all.
Oh,
not at all. Ooh. It's a joke.
It's a joke.
It's a joke.
Mm.
It's a joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tony, you agree with that? Is it a joke? You tend to be on the fence in these matters, Tony.
Well, I think that we have to assess things properly and most comprehensively. It is not that a guy who has been a superb batsman can come and be a superb coach.
Okay.
And it's not really about certification either. It's about qualifications. So some people have it. Some people might not have been an iconic figure.
We're losing you, Tony.
But they are excellent. Because, for example, a bowler in general cannot coach batsmen. All right, I'll tell you about Antunes. Antunes is not moving at back foot at all.
Mm.
So he's lunging at the ball. There's no rhythm to our batting. So for example, and I want to ask Yagaro this, the tapping of the bat on the ground, Yaga, now you're seeing guys pick up the bat before the bowler gets in his delivery stride. I think it is much more West Indian, and it would be make our batsmen more efficient if we tap the bat on the ground to get our rhythm.
Mm.
Because we're not moving as fluent as we used to move. So the thing about it is not just about, people who have been great at batsmen. Sometimes they can't put across what they want to say and how to coach individuals, because you're dealing with individuals, different types of personalities.
Mm.
And how to get to them, you have to understand. I don't totally agree with it.
Mm. So Tony, you don't agree with Yaga then?
No, I don't totally agree with him.
Okay, so but then say no, so.
Well, I agree.
No, but I wonder, Andrew,
yes.
I have to get into detail, think the listeners would appreciate details more than just saying so.
Oh, I agree.
Not a yes or no.
Okay.
Right?
Fair enough.
So I'm helping your listeners here.
Tony, I like that. That's why we invite you on the show. Now, Yaga, Tony Gray doesn't agree with you. Talk to me.
No, I agree with some of the points that Tony make. I totally agree with some of the points.
Mm.
It's not all great batsmen can impart, though.
Right.
I agree with that.
Right, right.
But I'm also saying that greatness is a part to help youngsters. They are motivated by people who have been at that level that they are at, who has performed at that level.
Mm.
I can tell you, even for me, when I walk into the dressing room the first time with a player and Sir Gary was in there and Rohan and these guys was in there, I was in awe.
Mm.
I was in awe.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with these guys, around these guys.
Yeah.
I was in awe.
Yeah.
You know.
I want to agree with Lawrence on this point. I'll tell you why. This morning, Joe Garner and myself met with a potential Barbados squad. We were supposed to be there for 2 hours. We went for almost 3.5 hours. And we had to open a frank discussion about it. And the questions were coming left, right, and center. They asked us to return a day next week because they want to interact more. So mm-hmm. I can value your point, Lawrence. Another thing, too, is how those former players communicate with the present cricketers. And it was an all-embracing session this morning. Thanks to Coach Head Coach for thought it was nice to conduct itself well. And the questions were very adequate and precise. And they wanted to know, how do you do this? How do you do that? What is your thought? Right. What was your opinions and your thought process when you were going through X, Y, Z? And yeah. They got the answers that we're looking for. So it is the way how the former cricketer or cricketers approach certain scenarios on the players in order to get the information and get the answers across. So I think there's value, but it has to be strategic and well thought out.
Right. That's
mm-hmm. Yes.
Because yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that initially, you see that all sports, Maradona, for example, took over Argentina, and he was obviously motivational because it's Maradona. But after losses, then the motivation dropped. Now, I'm saying that initially they will have the power of influence, and I don't think that all iconic figures are projected enough. So they might not have the type of influence that we feel they will have based on their background.
That's an interesting
but
comment.
Again, it is qualified coaches and not certified coaches. So, for example, Sir Gary Sobers would have started at 17 years old, 1954. But because you had the power of influence around him, the 3 Ws and older guys, look what he became.
Yeah.
So it That's can correct. Work. But Fuller is right in saying, how do you communicate with this generation, which is a vastly different generation and different psyche?
Mm. Yeah, Dr. Ford, just hold on, Doc. When you come back, we're going to come straight to you. Let's pause for a business call. Stay with us, Lawrence Rowe. We're going to try and reach Collis King as well because he wanted to make a contribution. I know it may be way past his bedtime. Collis, we're going to call you pretty soon. Mason and Guest, broad association with the good friends at ASF White Rum, the best show of the day.
Yes, it feels white rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, the lines are open, 441-790. We are getting reactions. Just before you come in, Dr. Ford, coming from all the way in New York, I absolutely agree with Soror about the century. All test players should be playing ODI. Rowe needs to know that Imlach was in 2016, the under-19 team that won the World Cup. So you can continue to send your WhatsApp messages to 253-4679, and we're going to open the lines. Dr. Ford.
Yeah, I can't sit here and argue and bash Sammy for commitment, passion, love for cricket, and that sort of thing. But when you look at the position of head coach, being a motivational person and all those other attributes are not the real part of being the head coach. The head coach must have some technical ability and must have the qualifications to make these subtle changes that can make the most of a person's technique. And, you know, I think, you know, you heard in the interview with even the adjustment Pope made that was Pope maybe making an adjustment. Who knows who may have told him, but it didn't come from within I didn't get the impression it came from within the brain's trust of the touring squad. And the thing is, that's what the head coach has to be able to do. The head coach has to be able to look at players, motivate them, assess what the weaknesses are, but give them some little pearl that they can use to bring the best out of them, but while they motivate them. And I believe that the lack of that, you know, that academic part of the coaching is the limiting factor. And I think that's hard to make up. Mm. You know, when you hear Toby Radford break down a technique or in batting or bowling and the subtle changes, it's something that's instantaneous and so easy, and he's helped so many people. I think that's what the team misses. And if they do that, we accept that all the players have abilities. You guys have broken down Athanase. We see all the guys have ability. They've made runs at different times, but it's about what is the deficiency at that time, and what is it that people are exploiting?
No, I agree. I agree with you, and I think you need to tell Dr. Shallow that, because the reality is that Sammy really is not the man to coach the West Indies side. So when you see him again, because he tends to invite you to the private boxes, when you see him again, you tell him that, because the reality, we can't continue with Darren Sammy as our head coach. Well, what is it based on? And I'm gonna throw that now to Tony Gray, who I believe is a scout. I'm asking you, is Darren Sammy qualified for the job as head coach? That question is for Tony Anthony Gray. Tony?
Well,
let me just be
comprehensive in my assessment here. People are saying that Darren has all the power. I said, no, he has all the pressure. You have to understand, so head coaches go through periods and a process that get you to that head coaching position. Darren Sammy is still at
no,
the
no, infant no, 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 hold on. What do you mean by, hold on. You're saying he doesn't have all the power. Can you explain that? Doesn't he have the power?
No, initially, when I heard that he was going to get the job, I said, no, I don't agree with that, because of the fact that he's going to be under extreme pressure.
Right.
Now, it's six different portfolios.
Right.
It is the head coach of three different formats, and then the lead selector, the only selector of three different formats. So that's six different portfolios.
Mm.
When you have somebody taking on all the pressure in the international cricket landscape being what it is, it's congested. And he's still at the developmental stages of his career as an international coach. He's not Andy Flaw.
Mm.
And to compound the problem, Andrew Mason, you don't have a system that develops our players quickly enough. It's not like Yagaro at 20, 21. It's not like Philo Wallace at 20, 21. We are taking longer. Our system is not adequate enough. So there has to be specificity as relates to coaching, because at that level, West Indies level, it is not the finished product. We get in players.
But Tony, you have not answered the question. You've not answered the question.
I said that he should not have been given all that portfolio. I said that.
Mm.
Okay. What do you want me to say again?
Well,
all right.
Yes, Lawrence.
No, because I'm saying, Andrew,
yes.
Our system doesn't. We don't have the English system. We don't have the Australian system. We don't have India money.
And you know,
so we cannot. There's not one person that changes things around.
And the thing about this, you're President Shallow and the director of cricket saying they have full confidence in Darren Sammy, and Darren Sammy is not winning. How could they have full confidence in a man and he's not winning? Do you hear that coming from the president of the Cricket West Indies? Don't you hear the president of Cricket West Indies saying he's got full confidence in Darren Sammy? And that is based on what? What is it based on?
Based on what?
You can ask me that.
No, I'm not asking you. Basil Bush has got his hand up. Basil.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I feel at this juncture in West Indies cricket history, we need a head coach that is more technically equipped. Because of the deficits that guys are coming in to the international level with. Because really and truly, more times in today's international game, head coaches don't do a lot of this one-on-one coaching that you would see at a different levels. A head coach is the manager of the unit, overlooking all his coaches, the strength coach, all the people within to get everybody moving in the same direction. The other thing I think, and it's obvious, I mean, when the DOC is going to say we need a batting coach that is more technically equipped, and recently you heard in the press conference that the money has been put aside to hire such batting coach. It tells you then Mr. Reefer is not up to par for the job in you admitting that. So those are the areas I think we need to fine tune if we're going to get the best out of this current crop of players, because all of them have arrived to the international level with a lot of deficits. I mean, you heard you heard that Reefer said has been adamant that these guys put in all the various sweep shots into the game. Yeah. I mean,
let me ask Basil something. Can I ask Basil something?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, so we are saying now that we need a technical coach. Has that been done before in the last 30 years?
I think that we had coaches in the past that were technically equipped.
Right, and what's our position now?
No, well... I am saying to you, I don't think there's a direct correlation, right? I am saying to you that at this juncture, more than at any other time in our history, more players are coming to the international level with technical deficits.
Right, I agree with you.
And I would also add, now, if you as a head coach is not that technical equipped a la a guy like McCollum in England. Mm. It is incumbent upon you that your backroom staff have that skill set.
Yes.
Because they're the ones that are going to spend most, the batting coach is the one who's going to spend more time with the batters, the bowling coach will spend more time. Mm. And that is where I think we have also fallen down.
Basil, the point I'm trying to make is that we have had technical people before, right? And every year we've seen our batting fall apart, right? So because we are not doing the research shows that we have taken away a lot of the system that created the Lawrence Road, the Sir Vivian Richards and these guys. We're talking about the reactive behavior.
Right.
Having somebody that is technically competent at the head coach is the right thing. I agree with you all.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But before these guys reach to that level, they have to be technically adequate.
Yeah,
I agree.
Technical proficiency at an early age will bring about the ability to concentrate for long periods. If you're getting out early, you can't concentrate for long periods. The systems are wrong. It is easy to surmise that the systems leading up. Look at me. I coached Pollard and them at the under-19 level. Now, what has happened at the under-19 level? We're preparing for 50-over tournaments. So where is the longer version of the game to build concentration levels and all these things? In schools, you're playing T20 cricket.
Gentlemen,
you're developing bad habits before these guys reach there.
Gentlemen,
so the technical person and the head coach is right, but... he will have too much of work to do if we continue with the inadequate systems.
I agree with that, because the system is ultimately where the light has to be shone most brightly and addressed. But also, it would help if we have more technically equipped people at the highest level.
Gentlemen, just hold your horses because we got lots of calls backed up, and we actually promised to have a quick word with Collis King. It's way past his bedtime now, so we're going to come back to this very soon. Just want to go to England and speak to Collis. Hello, Collis King, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Good, all right. Well, say hello to your good friend, Philo Wallace.
Hello, Philo. How are you? Good. I spoke to him earlier today, right?
Hi, Collis. Don't give Andrew too much information.
Philo has to begin some big jobs there and Joe Garn. He hasn't told me anything. What part of the world are you, Collis? Where in England are you?
I'm in Yorkshire.
You're in Yorkshire. Jeff Boycott's country, huh?
That's right. It's Jeff Boycott's country.
All right. Well, the last time I saw you, you obviously would have been there in St. Vincent having some good old mangoes and interacting, of course, with the president, the 5-star general, who's looking to become the 6-star general. Did you get a chance to watch the test match? Were you happy with the West Indies, Collis?
Yes, I'm very happy with how things went. A big performance from what we have been seeing over the last couple of years, right? Getting, you know, to go into the fifth day was really good for West Indies cricket, and, you know, I hope they can perform from there.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, Hope got 100, and Campbell, you must be very happy with the performance of these two gentlemen.
Yes, the only thing that I not happy with is that how the way he got out.
Yes.
Reverse sweeping. You know, when you get 115, 120, well, you want to kick on. And especially when your play is not so sure in the team, right? You need to go on and make 200, right? And Hope need to go on and make 180. And who knows, that could have carried us way down deep into this last year where they would have had, you know, 280 odd. But, you know, it's what it is.
You're right, because Lawrence Rose on the line was making the comment that had we given them maybe 250, you never know. Yes, both of them. And Philo Wallace made the point, you know, you got to 100 and then it's almost like, look, I've reached the promised land, and therefore I'm just giving up. So I agree with you as far as that is concerned. We're not going to keep you too much longer, Collis, because I know that's way past your bedtime. You wanted to do a tribute to your good friend Bernard Julian. You're doing very well, Bernard.
Yes, very well. Right, he was my roommate in 1976 tour of England, and we got on really well. And from that time, right, ever since when we went to South Africa, we used to call one another and, you know, speak to one another. You know, it was so sad to hear his passing. So I just want to convey my sincerest condolences to Bernard's family and all the Trinidadian public. Right. It's been a sad day for West Indies cricket.
Yeah, indeed. The Worlds, those youngsters that you... Yeah, St. Leonard's not doing badly at all in cricket.
Yes, I really miss those boys. And when I was home the last time, I went and did some coaching at St. George's with Sean Armstrong. So
yes,
hopefully, you know, if I go back there, we'll be able to, you know, do something with the youngsters.
Yeah, and just before you go, I've just spoken to Philo Wallace because you haven't gotten your $10,000 as yet, the US that was promised to you by the Cricket West Indies. So I've actually spoken to Philo. He's going to make a call to Dr. Shallow for you. Did you look into your conk this afternoon and still not there?
Andrew, don't do that.
Yes. Let's hope they do it.
Has anybody gotten in contact with you, Collis?
No, not since the night that we had the function. Nobody's got in contact with me concerning anything.
No, that's not good at all. So we're going to say to the Cricket West Indies that Collis King hasn't gotten his $10,000 that was promised to him. gentlemen, that's a long time. Philo is very close to the president. So I'm sure you're looking forward to that, huh? That 10,000 US, huh? And when you change that to pounds, that's a lot.
If they said they're going to do it, then I suppose we'll do it, right? But I haven't seen anything. So
not as yet.
Just
wait and see. I understand Kali Turan, when you spoke to him last, he didn't get anything either?
No, he said that he didn't receive anything. So we just, hang fire and see what will go down.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Mason, the guest. What time is it now there where you are in Yorkshire, Jeff Boycott's country?
It's coming up to 22 minutes to 1.
Yes. And that's way past your bedtime, huh?
I don't know, because when I get to my age, you don't need much sleep anymore.
I like that. Collis, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And certainly give Yagaro a call. And, of course, you can speak to Alvin Kelly-Turan. And this program is a big one. Yeah. So I expect that money to be in your bank account by tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Eastern Caribbean time.
Sounds good to me.
We wait and see. All right, Collis. Thanks very much for coming on Mason and Guest.
No problem, buddy.
All right. Indeed. Philo, Collis King hasn't gotten his money as yet. Philo, when last have you spoken to Dr. Shallow?
Philo? I haven't spoken to Dr. Shallow in a long time, Andrew, but I believe that they listen to the program and they hear the cries of the former players that
the
funds that were promised to them at that gala event in Barbados.
Yeah.
You can't have such a gala event and then don't follow through.
No.
I think so. Those are things that I know that's like CWA should correct.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the players will get what is due for them sooner rather than later.
Yeah, all right. No. And of course, they've got a very good lawyer and dermatologist in Dr. Ford. You know, he performed several roles, so I'm sure that Collis would speak to him. Let's try and take a couple of calls, can we? Ken Husbands is coming. Ken, say hello to Philo.
A very good evening to you, Philo. How do you do?
Very well, Ken. How do I better treat you down this side?
Oh, I like it. I like the weather. It's doing good to my gardens. Oh, yes. And I need to tell you that Philo Wallace has been wearing a red shirt marked 2026.
Mm.
No, I don't know. I understand the red shirt.
Yes.
But the 2026.
Yes, yes. The implications, eh?
Yeah.
And I see a lot of activity in the country. Roads are being done. All right, let's go and take a couple of calls. Stay with us, Lawrence. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night
to you, sir. Yeah.
Now, we are talking about the players and the techniques and the coaches. We need a sports psychologist. The men are not thinking on their feet.
Sports psychologist?
Nobody's thinking on their feet. When we were successful, Rudy Webster was in the picture, either as sports psychologist, manager/manager. You see how both, how the guy that opened, how he got out after making 100? That's disgraceful. He was not thinking. All of his thoughts went through the window.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have them thinking on their feet. Men, get out there, you saw Shander Paul, get atrocious shot.
Mm-hmm.
They're not thinking. All this motivational thing, you need a sports psychologist to get these people's minds working. It's a mind game. And they have to make them mentally strong. All this coaching, yes, coaching is important. But at what stage? You remember that a coach told Viv Richards he couldn't make it because he was hitting across the line. He perfected hitting across the line and was one of the best batsmen in the world. So a coach is not always right, because if a man comes along, it's just like walking. If you come along walking one way and a man tell you to walk, you probably can stumble. You come along doing a particular thing and are comfortable. Then the coach puts you in two minds. So you go out there, normally you come forward, you might tell you, no, you guys have the back straight and everything. You're not accustomed to it. So when you go to play, you are in two minds as to what you are to really do. I need to see, even so, some men doing some skipping or dancing, the feet like lead. So what do you think about that, Mr. Mason? Hello?
Yeah, okay. In fact, Ken just had to make me speak. He doesn't like, he likes to mute me, see, so, but Ken.
Oh, he muted you.
Yeah, he normally does that all the time. I agree with you. It's something that certainly will help. I mean, we had, of course, the great Rudy Webster, who was very much a part of the West Indies team. So I think it's something that needs to be done. And we also need to have a qualified head coach.
I ain't going to worry too much about the. Yes, you need one.
Yeah.
But as I saying.
A psychologist.
The psychologist. I want to see the man thinking.
Right.
You're at the crease and you're not thinking.
Right. I agree with that. All right. Let's try and take all some right. calls. I think we got Lawrence Rowe back as well. He lost. Is he with us? Yeah. Lawrence, in your day, was a psychologist of great importance? The call is saying that we need a psychologist.
I don't necessarily think so. Probably in the modern time, they might need that.
Mm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of what we get in terms of coaching and all of that kind of stuff, at the end of the day, it's going to be up to the players when you walk out. When you go in that middle, there, no, the coach can't help you. There's nobody can help you. You are there by yourself.
Mm. All right.
You have to put what you learn and what you know into practice.
Yeah, and of course, in your day, you had maybe a manager, an assistant manager. Nowadays, you got
I'm going to say something. Mm. I'm going to say something on the program now. Yes, we played back then, but people have to try and remember white ball cricket, colored clothing, all that thing came through our period of time. It's all started then.
Mm.
A lot of people didn't know that. White ball cricket started with Terry Parker. And night cricket start with Terry Parker, you know, all of that came through coloured clothing start there. Even the televised cricket started with Terry Parker then. So although it was we are guys from that period of time, there's a lot of things that we could look back at now to help us in the modern time. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've noticed is that our under-19 cricketers have always competed well. We have competed well for a number of years at the under-19 level. So when our players played against people like Warren and all those guys when they were schoolboy cricketers, our cricketers did well against them.
Mm-hmm.
They went out to play for Australia and they did well. Mm-hmm. Our players falter. So we had a problem from transforming our players from the under-19 level into that period.
Mm-hmm.
We were good at that level.
Mm-hmm.
We perform well at that level, and we had a problem then bringing them into the test fold.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where the problem was. And I remember our Tony Gray said, talk about we had technical coaches before. Yes, you might have technical coaches before, or people who technically was qualified before.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Rohan was coaching in the Caribbean, and they didn't want him to be a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is something else. We have to try and remember when West Indies was on top of the world and was beating the world. England, when I went to Derbyshire to play for England, when I was a test player, Derbyshire, all county teams have a head coach. Yeah. All county teams have a head coach. And I remember going into the net after I finished my series in 1974 when I made $301 and I went up to Derbyshire. I'm in the Nets batting in Derbyshire. And I come down the wicket to, I think it was Jeff Miller bowling to me or something like that in the net. And I come down the wicket to Jeff Miller, get on top of it and hit it through mid-wicket. And the coach said to me, oh no, Lawrence, oh no, 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 no. And I had to say to him, coach, when I get on top of it, I can hit it anywhere I want to hit it.
Excellent comment. You're perfectly right.
I had to tell him that. No. We never have coaches. The English team had coaches. All English county had coaches.
Mm-hmm.
We had coaches at in high school and schoolboy level cricket. We had coaches at the test level.
That's right.
We never had a coach. We toured with a top class West Indian batsman. Sir Clyde Walcott was the man who got to England all three times I went to England. He was the manager.
He was the manager.
And then we carried an assistant coach with us.
Mm-hmm.
We never have anybody else. Now, listen to me. When we sit down and we started talking cricket now as test players, as great as we were talking to the great Clyde Walcott.
Mm-hmm.
We sat back and listened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us first things. And we were all top-class test players at that time.
So what I'm saying to you, it means something when your head coach can be a top-class performer, when you would have performed at his cricket. It is good for you. West Indies dominated the world, and we never had any coach. All the other teams had coaches.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
We never had a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And we dominated the world during that period. The Englishmen had all the coaches right around, and we dominated the world.
Well,
our system didn't work. There are certain changes that come into it, but one thing don't change.
Mm-hmm. All
at the end of the day, at the end of the day, you have to get it done when you go out there as a player.
Mm-hmm.
No coach, nobody can do it for you. You have to do it at the end of the day. Exactly. When you get what you get, you have to go out there and do your job at the end of the day.
I agree. Stay with us, Lawrence. I know that Tony Gray wants to make a response. Let's try and take one or two calls. We also have to take a commercial break. So let's take this call, 441790. We're going to try to take as many calls as possible as well before the program ends at a minute past 8 o'clock. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hello, good night, Mr. Mason.
Hey, how is our favorite caller? You've got a fellow Jamaican. In fact, last week you had Billy Haven. Now you've got the great Lawrence Yagaro. Say hello to Mr. Rowe.
Good night, Mr. Rowe.
Is he still there? Is Yaga still with us?
We have to put Lawrence. Hold on. I have to work kind of a miracle here.
Okay.
Well, there we go.
Yes.
I'm here.
Did you hear the youngster, Anton, who's now calling us? He's a Jamaican like yourself. Say hello to Mr. Rowe there, Anton.
Good night, sir.
Good night. How you doing?
Fine, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Good to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Same to you.
Right. Talk to us, Anton. What do you have to share with us tonight?
First of all, I want to say good night to your panel as well. Now to start. As I was trying to tell you last week, we need higher scores. When it came, and I'm actually a lot more pleased with West Indies' efforts, this test, although they win. But, sir, one thing I don't like about our batsmen, they will come and make a very good score and then just so give away their hand. Not like they're getting out to a good delivery or anything. They just come and play fully shots and get out.
Mm-hmm.
We need hundreds to be converted into 150s and 200s, sir, so we could at least go for it total. Our bowlers are really a little bit dropping it. Mm. I like today, if we did at least get India like 200 to 300 runs, that would still be a match.
Yes.
Because we have won that, sir.
You're right, Anton. Yes, because I mean, as Philo said earlier, the way they got out, you know, another 100, 150 runs, you know, you never know. They ended at 124 for 3. Battling to the last day, you know, on a pitch that may give the spinners some assistance. You're right about that.
What happened to Kevin Hodge?
Well, I mean, that's the question that we asked earlier. We don't know. I mean, he made 100 in England and has not been selected since. And, you know, I don't know what's going on there. Let's hope that they select him again because he's a good player, a good fighter.
Yes, good fighter.
You're right. Well, but Anton, you're still there?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
Right, okay, well, I want to thank you for calling the show, and I'm sure you're, despite losing, there were some positives coming out of the test match, right, Anton?
Yes, sir, I really like how the boys fought, and especially Ateniz. To me, he's showing he could do much better than recently, but in that last innings, he got a very good ball by Kuldeep. Mm-hmm. And like, happened so, your guard just picked up. Pick up yourself and go again. But he's showing me good signs for the future.
Right. But Anton, as a youngster, you're at 12:30 now. Do you stay up all night to watch the cricket? Or you do like Ken Husband with peep at it, you know, and get up and sleep and get up and sleep? What do you do? I mean, from 12 o'clock, are you watching, Anton?
I sleep, sir, until the morning. Then peep at it while getting ready for school.
Okay, all right, okay, wonderful. All right, well, I know you love your cricket, and are you playing at Commonwealth? Are you playing at all, though, Anton?
Or not, I love it? I batting, but not like in any competitions or anything.
All right. Are you a batsman or you're a bowler?
Well, I prefer batting.
Okay. Well, we wish you well.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy the rest of your night. Let's try and sneak a couple more calls in, Tony, before we come back to you. 441790. Hello, welcome, Mason and Gers.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you, my friend?
I'm trying to keep on
it. Talk to me.
I'm talking about Campbell. Campbell does stupidness. But what about Graves in the first inning?
Yes.
You can believe it, you're trouble in my reverse even.
Yes, yes.
If I was a captain and a mad dude, I get beat, he can't walk with me again. You got to use a human head, not a four in a game. Yeah. You know,
I keep telling you with your language on this show, you're not talking to me.
All right, Spartan. Mr. Mason.
You do it all the time. Come on,
all right.
You want to get Mason and Guess off the air? Come on.
I will hear that.
Just watch your language, watch your conduct.
But let me tell you something, Mr. Mason. Sorry about that. And let me tell you something. I play the fellas, but I still don't like the way they get out. Maybe batting, bat. You think Coley or Baz Adam or Joe Root would get out of the bat? They're going to bat them back. They're going to make the Indian ball till they get to the third. Bat and get them 200 or 300 runs. Maybe we saw what happened.
You never, yes.
Got to go back and they get last.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I don't know, man. I love the thing. That's the truth.
Yeah,
and I don't want to buy me vaccine, but sometimes, oh my Lord, I just wonder if they're really, really, just really concentrating.
I agree.
They don't concentrate enough.
No, I agree. Thanks for your contribution, caller. Let's pause for business calls now. We got what? It's another about 21 minutes left on the show. We're going to try to take as many calls. Tony Gray has got to make a comment. And you can also send us a WhatsApp at 2534679. Mason and Guest, brought in association with our good friends at ASFU at Rum, the best show of the day.
If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Boy, there's so many people wanted to speak to Tony Gray. And of course to Lawrence Yagoro and the rest of the team. Let's try and sneak one or two more before we come to you, Tony. Hello, welcome. Hello, welcome.
Hi, Andrew. How you doing?
Oh, how are you?
I'm good, Andrew. Now, while listening to the program, I heard one of your panelists there wanted to correct Dr. Ford. When Dr. Ford said that there were, I can't remember exactly how he put it now, but the body corrected saying that they're not going to oblivion or something, intensive care,
yeah.
But I would say to the call, that person, that intensive care, touch and go. So I don't think that they offer you much hope either. But I think that the idea of a technical person being a coach is the ideal way that we should go. I am a technical person myself, and I believe that being a technical person, you can spot the flaws. And that's really that plaguing us today. Because that, like somebody just complaining about the reverse sweep and all of them kind of things. To me, them is their foolishness. That's why that they would go in the game for the entertainment. But you can't play them kind of shots in test cricket.
No.
Test is test. And you can't play them kind of shots. I'm saying my man that will be charged for a batting coach would be Desmond Haynes. You could remember when Wasim Akram and Waka Yunus had all the batsmen mesmerized, and he and Gordon Greenidge and even Sean DePaul was able to change the technique to counteract it.
Right.
Those are the type of people that you need. Also, I hear Desmond Haynes said clearly he used to play mortgage cricket. He had a mortgage to pay, so he had to stand up and bat. These are the things that I would like these youngsters to hear and let them know that the India's going out there because they're getting paid regardless to the performer or not.
Mm.
But they owe something to the game. Mm-hmm. Don't just take what they can get. They're going to put back something into it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea about Darren Sammy, that I consider the half-back player being a head honcho, I am supporting that.
Mm. I agree with that.
I want a good technical player that can stand from a distance and spot the flaws, can explain it to you. Because a lot of people tell you doing something wrong, but they can't explain it to you, nor help you correct it.
You're right.
I ain't supporting that.
No, I certainly agree with you on that, Strikers Tenetry.
Well, thank you for that. You have a good night.
Thank you very much indeed. Tony Gray. We're going to go back and take some calls after Tony Gray's comments. Tony, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, Yagaro was saying that, you know, we didn't have qualified coaches. We didn't have certified coaches in those days.
Okay.
And we have to understand through looking back that you can't develop a Yagaro just like that. You know, he has to go through a process. What was the process that he went through and how people formed his attitude towards batsmanship? You know, if we look back at each individual, so Vivian Richards, Brian Lara, I know for sure that he went through a process. It is not certified coaches in those days. It was qualified coaches, the senior men in the clubs.
Right.
So there was a process that these players went through. We are talking about a technical man in a reactive way, not a proactive way. We have to have a technical man throughout the process, from the playground to the international arena, adding certain things to the game.
Mm.
And we had the right process. This is what I keep on saying. We cannot develop a team that dominates world sport, not just world cricket, for 15 years if we weren't doing the right things before and to maintain that type of dominance. So we have to understand there were coaches in clubs, but not certified coaches, but qualified coaches. Ron Canai came to this country and was excellent. We had Wessel under 16 and under 19. I played the last years. That was an excellent system.
Mm-hmm.
All these things now have been deleted from our system. And we want our players to be as good as we were. It's not going to happen. So again, you have to look back and re-implement a lot of the systems that we had, including schools cricket, that developed players in the right way. Now the education system doesn't allow the child to play. So I don't understand how people don't understand why we are struggling. What about the pitches? This test match showed us, you know, that level of zooming in on a pitch that we are custom playing in.
Mm-hmm.
All the pitches are similar to what we saw in Delhi. So the players didn't have to make a lot of technical changes, mental changes, and they scored 390. We go into New Zealand just now with the ball, will say, Philo said it, bouncing and seaming. Can we make the adjustment? Because there's no other pitch in the Caribbean that simulates with what we're going to meet in New Zealand. So this is what we have to understand. We have to understand that we're not preparing our players properly. At the under 19 level, we are playing 50 over cricket alone and decreasing the 3-day games. So how players could make the transition? It doesn't happen that way.
That's why Tony asks, what is going to happen with those red ball cricketers or test match cricketers that are about to leave India? Where are they going to prepare for New Zealand? Are they coming back to the Caribbean? Or they're going somewhere in the Middle East, somewhere out there where they are and work hard? I saw a video this morning with Rutherford in the Nets at Chennai Super Kings Academy. And I didn't like the way he was batting at all. He's preparing for the T20 at ODI. I said, but I didn't like the way he was batting in the Nets. And I would like to know who is supervising those guys who are in the Chennai Super Kings High Performance Center. Who is supervising them? So these are the questions that we need to ask, because we finished the test match as a batting unit pretty good. We want to carry that momentum. The next test match is maybe in 2 or 3 weeks' time. But we still have to have momentum from what we were going to leave in India. It's important.
That's right.
As Lawrence said, you don't have no warm-up games. I don't know if there's any warm-up games in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So acclimatization is going to be very, very important.
Mm.
Yeah.
Lawrence?
That's right.
Lawrence? Yaga still with us, Ken? Is he there? He's still with us?
Gentlemen,
yeah.
We can't get it wrong. This situation is extremely difficult. It ain't no magic wand waving and we're getting it done. You know, it's a lot of pieces that we have to try.
And we have one head coach. And we have one head coach, Yaga. We have one head
that's
coach.
That's exactly.
And our teams are going in different directions.
That's correct. And that is crazy. And that's why it's so crazy. We are so bad at it. We have one head coach to deal with it.
Can you imagine that? Yeah.
And then we are stubborn. We tend to be stubborn. It looks like the organization is tend to be stubborn in terms of if you make a decision and you realize that, you know, probably we might have blundered here a little bit, you try and correct it as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you try to correct it as quickly as possible. I remember early on the program, somebody mentioned about Sherman Gill's decision to give us the follow-on. No, I am almost sure that wasn't his decision alone.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't his decision alone. That wasn't his decision alone. I'm sure the head coach and probably some of the senior men in the team, he consulted them on doing it. So I would never blame him for the decision to make us follow on. Because they felt that they could have bowled us out. Things didn't work out that well. The guys went and they batted well. We have to give us credit. And one man I should give credit is Greve.
Yes.
He batted extremely well as well. And I think he's a good player coming down the order. And let me tell you something. He gave away his wicket in the first innings. I can't understand this man, man. This man can play as well as he can.
Yes.
And just give away his wicket like that in the first innings.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to play them stupid shots earlier.
No.
Yeah, that is part of the game, no. But remember, it's a test match you play, and you can do it up and down the field. You can play up and down the field. You don't need that until you're going on to that 30. You can play that when you're going on to that 30.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say something to you guys. If you remember a couple of years ago, Joe Root started to play that reverse sweep in test match and was getting out early and getting some match scores. You see what he did in recent times? Turn that around, he put that out of his pocket. He will play a reverse sweep when he's gone 130 or 140.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not reverse sweeping anymore early on in his inning.
No.
You understand? You don't do that when you're a top player and you can bat. Greve is a good enough player to stand up coming down at number 70 here. And he showed it a few times against Australia. He showed it a few times that he can do his thing. And he came out the first inning in this game. And go pelt a reverse sweep on out. And go in. And look how he batted the second inning.
I
don't think he played a reverse sweep one time. I might have gone to bed, but then somebody can correct me. Did he play a reverse sweep in that time?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think he's
taken over now totally from Jason Holder?
Well, he's a good backup to the big three when they are
big
going,
three.
You know. He's a good backup to the big three. You know, he can do his thing, hold his own and do his thing. And can back up the big three fairly well, you know.
Right.
Gentlemen, we are in a tough position. We're all trying to see the best. We love West Indies cricket.
Right.
I play gentlemen. I love it. And we all want to see them do well.
Mm-hmm.
And as Tony Gray said, I didn't know, Tony, that the whole system is not what it was. Yes, you are so right with what you're saying in terms of a system was there for us to come through where you have coaches in the club who used to help you. I was helped there around. When I was about 15, my first formative coaching was about age 15. And I got a man called Roy McLean. He played Senior Cup cricket.
Yeah.
And when he saw me the first time, he said to me, "You can go far in the cricket. You have one flaw that I want to correct for you. One flaw. When you play back, you are square. In big cricket, you're not going to make it like that in big cricket. You've got to straighten that out."
Okay. Interesting.
And he told me, he said to me, "It's not going to be easy because of what you've been doing all along. You want to divert back to it." And he said to me, "Stick with it. Do it in front of the mirror. What I'm showing you, do it in front of the mirror. Do it all the time. Even if you go back and play and you go back to your bad ways, When you get back, do it. And when I corrected that, the rest was history in my game.
Exactly. All right, so stay with us. You got another, what, less than 10 minutes left. Ryan Hines joins us. Hello, Ryan.
Ryan. Joe, good evening to your panel.
Yes,
I've enjoyed the discourse this evening, and I'll continue to elaborate on what the great man, Mr. Lawrence Rowe, was just speaking about. I think when we speak about the technical deficiencies, we really got to look at the age group cricket. I think that's the most important in terms of trying to correct gray areas. When we players get a bit older, there are certain things that will be embedded in us. So as you get older, it's more about management of the players. The technical deficiencies, I heard Mr. Gray spoke about the work that he would have done with Mr. Pollard from the age group level. Yes, we were always competitive at the on the 19, and I can share something with you. I remember when I was captain in 1999, when we won, I think we would have lost one, and I was to Jamaica in the finals of the 50-over, because I used to play three-day cricket, and then the 50-over, so we got a lot of time in the middle. And suffice to say, the great man, Sir Garfi Sobers, he spent a lot of time with us. You know, the head coach would have been Darren Boxall and Mr. Richard Stricker. And they would have incorporated the great man, Sir Garfi Sobers, in our program. And as you all rightfully said, when you have these guys around, it's a different aura, it's a different feel.
Mm.
And when you see how the guys gravitated towards the great, Simon Nurse would have been a part of that program as well, too. So these great men are, they have a role to play in West Indies cricket. I think the club cricket structure as well, too. We need to look at the club cricket structure. When we look at club cricket, Andrew, you follow a lot of the club cricket, a lot is heavily dominated by spin.
Mm-hmm.
So when a guy advances from the under-19 cricket and he goes into the senior team and he faces a quality fastball, and he struggles because when you look at the surfaces of club cricket, they're too tailor-made to slow bowling, and these are things that we need to address from a very early age, because if we want to have quality all-round players, we need to be playing on one, better surfaces, and two, challenging surfaces, because when we go outside of the Caribbean and we play in not the subcontinental areas where it's heavily dominated by slow bowling, but when we go to England or Australia where it seems a bit more, then we must be able from a very young age to have that type of knowledge and experience from playing club cricket. So these are things that we need to address. I want to thank Philo, and firstly thank Philo, Mr. Garrett, today for sharing their experiences with us. And like he rightfully said, we went up for three and a half hours. And I hope that this is something that not only at the senior level, but also at the junior level, where players understand what it means to play for Barbados and West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the contribution I wanted to make. I like the healthy conversation, but I think the age group cricket is where we really need to address the technical deficiencies.
All right. Thanks very much indeed for coming through. Let's pause for business calls. Mason and guests. Broad association with the good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASAP is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want. ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
But we really got to do a part two on this, because the reality is a very interesting discussion coming through. No question about that. I really enjoyed the technical talk. Of course, Tony Gray is one that made some very, very interesting comments. And we're going to leave the last comment with Dr. Ford before we go. Doc, Bangladesh is next. You think we can beat Bangladesh? What do you think? We're not hearing you, Doc.
And, you know, we really need to get our bowling attack back and to increase the depth in the bowling. But, yeah, I mean, Bangladesh isn't India, so if we bat properly, we'll have a better chance. But, of course, the pitches may be spin-friendly, so I hope the guys can compete. But we have to improve and become significant and worthy of being in the test arena, so I'm hoping for the best, sir.
30 seconds, Basil. You think we can compete against Bangladesh? A lot of spin.
Yes, Bangladesh is a place where we have been successful in terms of the ODI game. So I think it should be a very competitive series. The interesting thing is that when we last played Bangladesh at home, some of their key players did not come to the Caribbean.
That's true.
And I got a feeling they will be fully stacked waiting for us. So this is going to be a very competitive series in my view. And I wanted to just add this last thing quickly. The follow-on situation, if you remember a couple of years ago, the baseball guys disrespected New Zealand and did a similar thing, and it bit them in the butt. Because why that was a boneheaded decision? You had two aging fast bowlers in Broad and Anderson, and you're going to follow on with them, and New Zealand put the sword to them and end up winning the test match one run.
I remember that indeed. All right, well, gentlemen, time is up. We got just 30 seconds left, so it's all that's left for me to do is to thank all of you. Yagoro, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, Mr. And I guess we can do a part two. Tony Gray in gray and with a gray beard. Good to have you on, Mason and Guest, as well. And, of course, Philip Wallace, who's actually wearing red. He's preparing for the next general elections, which I understand is going to be pretty, pretty soon. Of course, Dr. Ford, who is a big supporter of the Prime Minister. I'm Andrew Mason. Hey, it's open for a bright tomorrow. It's good night. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.